The scripture this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, 1 through 21. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one can tell where it came from. It filled the whole building where they were sitting. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit rested upon each of them, filled them, and the Spirit gave them the ability to speak, speaking in a number of different languages. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came running. They were bewildered when they heard one after another their own language being spoken. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying,
"Aren't these all Galilean? How come we're hearing them talk in many different languages?"
"Parthians and Medes and Elamites and visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs."
"They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works."
Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make heads or tails of any of it. They talked back and forth, confused.
"What's going on here?"
"Maybe they're drunk on cheap wine."
That's when Peter stood and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency.
"Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting and living in Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God declares, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun will turn dark and the moon blood red before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then whoever calls out to God for help will be saved."
May you be blessed by the reading of his word.
Language, conversation, dialogue, that has been our theme, I think, as we've moved through the book of Acts. Many, many stories about how we work together and our relationships together. And in my old age, I am finding that I can't remember the stories that I've already told you. So if I've told this story before, please accept my apology. It's old age. When I was younger, I seemed to remember all that, but now I don't seem to do as well. But I have a different point this time if I did tell you the story previously. Have to tell on myself too. But it was when Lindsay and I were newlyweds, and we were at Stone Mountain Park. And Stone Mountain Park in Georgia is this huge granite mountain. And on the front is a carved Confederate scene. And so all day long, families come together at Stone Mountain and they picnic and there's lots to do and fishing and all that kind of thing. So we spent a long day playing. And then late that evening, they have a laser show. They put lights up onto the mountain and they have music. And I think it was 4th of July or something. So there were people from all around. It was very, very busy. And we enjoyed our day where we're very, very tired. Well, at the end of the evening, it's like any other place. There's only two ways out and way more cars than can fit through those two ways out. And so we decided that we would get something to drink before we got on the road. Well, this is what the family calls the great Sprite and ice fight. We went there and found in the trunk that we only had one Sprite and enough ice for one cup. So I said, "Lindsay, why don't you just take the Sprite and the ice?" And that's all I said. Now, this is where I have to confess. When I am tired, I'm crabby. But I don't fight. I get silent. So the other person has no idea what's going on in my brain because I'm silent. So I just said, "Take the Sprite and the ice." But thinking in my head, when he gets done with the cooled Sprite and he's drank it, then I'll just eat the ice. But I didn't say that. I was tired. I was silent. I was ready to be home. I'd had it. Well, he thought, she's being the martyr. You know, she can just have the Sprite and the ice. Or all in what he said to her, or to me, was, "I'll drink the Sprite, you have the ice." Well, somehow, you know how things get. It just got bigger and bigger and bigger until it was this mountain of an argument. And this is why I think I remember telling this story, because I think I remember telling you this. But my little 11-year-old, first of all, Lindsay said finally, as he always did, "Robin, I'm really sorry." And I was silent. I was still crabby. I was still fighting. And so I was silent. And my 11-year-old son in the back seat in his gruffy little voice said, "Mama, he said he was sorry." You know, children. But my point is silence. When we're silent, we're saying something, whether we mean it or not. Silence can be as loud as anything else. Well, hold that story up where I was silent, and then I'll tell you a story where I did do a little bit better. In Kansas City, I was on staff with a fairly large staff, and we had a Russian congregation that met in our building. We met early morning, and then they met all afternoon. They were wonderful. Great music, great group of people. So Pavel, the pastor of the Russian congregation, came to our staff meeting. Well, we were all sitting around, and Daryl, the music minister, was talking about worship, and he was talking about someone that we were thinking about taking part in worship, and he said, "Well, they're not really Johnny on the spot. I just don't know that we ought to have them do it. We may not start on time or whatever." And I saw this real puzzled look on Pavel's face when he said Johnny on the spot. And so I said, oh, wait a minute, we need to explain that one. Pavel's not understanding this, what Johnny on the spot means. So we stopped our discussion and we said, well, Johnny on the spot means that he's not always on time or doesn't always quite get what he's supposed to get. And so he's, quote, Johnny on the spot, not Johnny on the spot. And Pavel looked at us and he said, oh, so it's not the portable toilets on the road. There was a company that had the portable porta potties, and they were called Johnny on the spot. Well, none of us thought about it at all. But someone from outside with a different perspective, not understanding our American ways, it was totally foreign to him. Well, you can imagine if we didn't clear that up, how that would have gone on. We're calling someone a toilet? Or not a toilet? Or do we call some people toilets and some people we don't? You can see how words, conversation can get so messed up, whether we're silent or whether we are talking. Well, this is a wonderful passage about conversation, about language, about being understood, about speaking, and about hearing. If we go back in the context of this event, Jesus died, left this small group of followers. They were in the upper room. They were locked away. They were afraid. They killed Jesus. They executed him. And so they're afraid. They're locked up in this room. Well, Jesus arose, and he came to them, and he's alive. And you can imagine from the grief to the excitement. But then Jesus said he's leaving again. And he did, and left this group then again, thinking, what do we do? How do we move forward? How are we going to manage this on our own, afraid in this little room? But Jesus told them before he rose, he said, you'll have power from the Holy Spirit. Just wait. So it was the Feast of Weeks. There were people from all over there coming in on pilgrimage into Jerusalem. They were celebrating. And so there were people from all over, different languages. And the Holy Spirit descended upon this group. They went out into the streets preaching. Now, their leader had been executed, but they went out into the streets and they began to preach. Well, Keith Heron was my pastor in Kansas City, at the church I was just talking about. And we had an ordination service one time. And I remember this, that he said this during the ordination, and it meant a lot to me. And it was during Pentecost, that season. He said, most of us really don't want a breaking in of the divine. Things happen. We become convicted of a need to change or to do something radical. And we'd rather just sit back. Well, they did something radical. They went out and they began to preach. And I'm sure they were thinking, how in the world are we going to preach to all of these different people? Well, there were three miracles that day, I think. There was the fact that God can indwell humankind. The fact that we as believers have God within. We are, in a sense, a piece of the divine because God lives within us. There is also, excuse me, allergy time. There is also the miracle of hearing. Most of us, when we're in a conversation, we're thinking about what our next sentence is going to be. Seldom, if we really think about it, seldom do we really listen to the other person, especially if it's a different point of view, because we want to get ours in there, and we want to be sure that we say what we want to say. But that was a miracle of hearing that day, because the people listened to what was being said. It was also a miracle of communication. God gave them the ability to reach out to those crowds. God gave them the language to say what took a lot of courage to say. Well, I came across this book, Sacred Speech, quite a while ago, many years ago, and I love what Donna Schaefer says in here. She's a United Methodist minister. And a little plug for the women's retreat in the fall, I'm going to be teaching this book. So if you want to come and have a great time and talk about sacred speech, that's what our whole conference is going to be about the power of the word. Come along with us. But Donna Schaefer said in there that secular speech ignores the spirit and tends to close doors and keep people safe. If you think about it, most people say, oh, when I'm at a party or when I meet somebody or when I get in certain crowds, I don't speak about religion and I don't speak about politics. Those are the two things that we don't want to talk about. We want to be safe. It's easier just not to talk about it. Sacred speech, religious speech, makes us vulnerable. We are telling someone else about something that is highly personal and can be painful if the other person doesn't come along with us in our ideas. But the Spirit allows us to speak the truth. The Spirit gave them the power to speak truthfully. The Spirit is alive in us today too, and can give us the power, the tools to speak in truth. But that takes good boundaries. We have to know who we are. And we have to know that what another person says to us is not hurting us. It's not going to make us any less than. But when we can say in truth what we believe, we have the freedom to do that. And the other person has the freedom as well to say it to us. And it doesn't mean that we're going to necessarily change one another, but it means that we can talk in truth with one another. So, for example, rather than saying, "Oh, you always bring up the hard stuff. Why do we have to talk about this? You're just going to make me try to force me to change my decision," or "You always make me feel bad, and I'm tired of hearing it, and I don't like the way you're saying this." Instead of those kinds of things, when we speak with sacred speech, with the power of the Holy Spirit, we say things like, "Let's talk about that later when we feel better," or "Give me a little time to think about it, and then I'll get back with you," or "Sure, but let's do it over a cup of coffee." Ways to be honest, or even say, "I disagree, but let's have a cup of coffee and let me hear your side." Those are the ways that the Spirit can empower us and give us courage to talk about that which may be painful. Have you ever noticed that when you get in a position where you're uncomfortable, the other person has got a different opinion? I don't know about you, but I tend to talk. And so I find myself repeating, and I find myself wondering if they really understand. And so I go back over it and over it and over it in this conversation that's not working well. Spirit conversation is usually brief, and it's usually concise. It contains what you believe, and if they agree, great. If they don't, you've given them some food for thought. But the Holy Spirit gives us that power and that courage to be able to speak in truth about things that might be uncomfortable. The Spirit says that everyone has a right to speak and a right to life and opinions and thoughts. And the Spirit says everybody should have the courage to be able to voice them. There's freedom in being able to express our convictions. This morning, I wake up to NPR on Sunday mornings. I love Krista Tippett's program, On Being. And this morning was a discussion with Matthew Stevenson and Derek Black. Apparently, these two young men went to New College in Florida and became friends. Well, after a while, of getting to know each other, they realized that Matthew was a white supremacist and Derek Black was a Jewish, Orthodox Jewish man. Well, they, of course, didn't talk about their differences, but they became friends. And one day, Derek invited Matthew to come to Shabbat. Shabbat is the Jewish Sabbath. They start on Friday evening, and they have a very formal dinners and things that they prepare for on Saturday. And Saturday they have certain rituals, and it's a very rich, wonderful ritual. And so Derek went out on a limb and invited Matthew to come. Matthew came. Matthew came every week for Shabbat. They celebrated together. But Matthew never changed his mind. He was still an atheist, and he was still a white supremacist. But that friendship grew and grew because Derek had the guts to invite Matthew to his religious celebration each week. Well, as time went on, Matthew began to think, And Matthew was a person who was very public with his thoughts. He was well known as a white supremacist. But he began to realize that his friends, his black friends at school, and his Jewish friend then, that he couldn't hold on to his worldview. He couldn't keep believing what he was believing because it banned those that he was beginning to love. And so as that friendship grew, as he continued to go, his view began to change. Beautiful story of these two men and how they worked out their differences. And then Matthew went on to go public and tell people that he felt like white supremacist nationalist beliefs were wrong and why. Derek said to him, in some of their discussions, he said, it's okay to have a strong and firm belief about something, but it's wrong when it violates the humanity of someone else. Derek also said, if we don't dare to speak to others and tell them our beliefs and dare to listen, we will never have empathy for one another. We will never understand each's point of view. Sacred speech at Pentecost gave them the words and then gave them the power to speak. But the Holy Spirit lives today. Pentecost today, the Holy Spirit can give us the power to have the courage and the words to say them. Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Holy Spirit, dwell within us and give us the courage and the words to reach out to those around us. In Christ's name, amen.